Hello, welcome to today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Evangelist Peter Hockley from Oxford Bible Church, and today we're going to be talking about total freedom. I'm so excited about this gospel message. I hope you have your Bible ready. Let's begin by going into the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read from chapter 4 and verse 14. It says this, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then it says he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.'" You know, God is interested in you and me, and his interest is good. Did you ever think about those gods of ancient mythology, like the Greek gods, how they were so capricious and cruel, poking humanity with the sticks of affliction and suffering and torment just for their own amusement? And just a word here to say that, you know, there are some people who accuse Christians like me of make-believe, believing in a made-up God, a non-real being. But, you know, it's interesting that throughout history, although history is filled with lots of man-made gods, the interesting thing about them is that they all look just like men. They are cruel like us. They are jealous like us. They are unkind and unjust. They steal and they lie, they cheat and they betray just like us. Their man-madeness is evident in just how much like man they are. But the one true God, the living God, the God of this book right here, stands out as different. He is far above us in every way. Psalm 86 and verse 5 says, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you." Psalm 119, verse 68, "You are good and do good." Also Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, "For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him." And also Exodus 34 and verse 6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth.'" And down throughout history, untold millions of lives across the world have been radically transformed by encounters with this living God from all walks of life, every strata of society, every race and ethnicity, men and women, young and old, rich and poor alike, educated and illiterate. They've all been touched by his divine hand, and their testimony has echoed along with the psalmist who said, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting." Yes, God is interested in our good, and a great portion of that interest in our good is a desire to make us free. Freedom, of course, has many definitions, and we'll look at some of them briefly in just a moment, but it's one of the greatest and most precious prizes on earth. There is an innate sense inside of every human being that desires to be free, that we ought to be free, and those who have freedom can take it for granted until, of course, it's taken away from them. Then they recognize the importance of freedom, and those who do not have it crave it just as much as water or air or food, and people have even fought and died in the struggle to obtain freedom. Those who conquer others and deprive them of their freedom know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what it is they're taking away. They understand the value of it because they themselves would fight to their very last breath to prevent their own freedom from being snatched away from them. And it's true that God created us for freedom. He wants to set us free, not only socially or politically or financially. He wants to set us free in our entire being, in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, right to the very depths of who we are. Jesus enters the synagogue in our text in Nazareth. And when he gets there, he opens the book of the prophet Isaiah and he reads from Isaiah 61. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Yes, because he has commissioned me with authority, because he's qualified me with gifts of power, because he's set me apart and consecrated me for important work. And what is that work? How will he exercise his authority? What will he do with those gifts of power? Well, he says that he has come to preach the gospel. And preaching the gospel is more than just talking, my friend, because it is accompanied by action. It is accompanied by life-changing, transforming power. That's what makes the good news so good, that it has the changing effect on the one who hears and receives it. Of course, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto the salvation of all who believe it." Everyone who receives it, it is not just a feel-good message, it's a make-whole power. And I pray that as I speak to you today in this program, you will not just hear the words that I'm saying with your ears and feel a bit better, but that you will draw the Word of God deep into your heart and receive its holy power that sets captives free and gives liberty to those who are oppressed. Jesus came to make people free. It was his purpose here on earth. You know, earthly men use their power, that is their authority, to oppress and enslave others. But Jesus, the heavenly man, uses his power to set slave people free. His power does not oppress and imprison, but it gives relief to those who are oppressed. He doesn't use his authority to chain people up or lock them behind bars of pain and suffering, but he takes hold of those bars with his omnipotent nail-scarred hands and he tears them away for good. He came to set the captives free. But what is true freedom? What is total freedom? The dictionary, of course, gives various definitions of freedom. In the dictionary, freedom is defined as the power to act, speak, or think as one wants. Also, the absence of subjection to foreign domination or despotic government. Freedom is also defined as the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved, and also as the state of being unrestricted or being able to move freely. And most would consider those to be very good definitions, but I want to say today that these, even these, are not total freedom. Because you can have the power to act and to speak and to think as you please, and you can still end up in a complete mess. If you run after every thought, if you act on every impulse, if you say whatever you like without restraint, you can wreak havoc in your life and the lives of others and bring misery down upon your head. You can also be free from outside domination. You can be able to walk around freely without any outside oppression, but you can still be locked up in that inward prison. Yes, the despots are not foreign invaders or a corrupt government, but those internal habits that keep you prisoner, destructive mindsets, harmful addictions that strangle and choke all the enjoyment out of life and cast a shadow over you, just as severe as any wicked ruling regime. Again, freedom, as I said before, was defined as not being imprisoned or enslaved. And you might be able to walk outside in the sunshine under the bluest of blue skies, and yet you can still be a prisoner to fear, to feelings of guilt and shame, to aching loneliness and emptiness in your life. These things can still have a hold on you. And you know, it might have been years since you were living under that same roof as those cruel parents of yours. It might be years since those childhood bullies who made your life a living hell. It might be years since that toxic relationship that you were in, that destructive situation that you were in. It might be years since you walked away from these things, but you can still be a prisoner. You can still be haunted by the memory and still be tortured by the past. Yes, you can still not be free. And also, we read that freedom was defined as being unrestricted, being able to move freely. And a man might well be unrestricted, certainly financially. He might have the freedom to buy anything he wants, travel anywhere he pleases. But this in itself won't give the man any kind of peace of heart or mind, because peace cannot be bought and it cannot be found anywhere on a map. Only Jesus makes completely and totally free. Only in him can we find true and lasting freedom. John chapter 10 and verse 10, the famous verse, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I'm going to read another passage of scripture from John chapter 8, beginning from verse 31, which says, Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Yes, those who continue in the Word are the true disciples of the Lord. They are His disciples indeed. And there are lots of people who are disciples in name only. They say they are Christ followers, but Jesus separates them from those who are truly faithful to Him and His way. Now, they may not be perfectly faithful, and almost certainly are not. I know I'm not perfectly faithful, but that's not the issue. The thing is that they continue. Those who continue in my word are my disciples indeed. That's the key, that they continue in their devotion and their dedication to the Lord. They continue in his word. And the promise that is given to every genuine disciple is that they will know the truth, and the truth they know will make them free. Because, of course, truth is more than just a doctrine or a message or a teaching. Knowing the truth isn't just a matter of being privy to some information that others don't have. No, knowing the truth means knowing a person, because the truth is a person. It is Jesus himself. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's interesting that when Jesus mentioned being made free, some of those Jews resented it immediately. They boasted of the fact that they were Abraham's descendants, and they said they had never been in bondage to anyone. And I read that and think, what a selective memory they had, because Israel had always and oftentimes been in bondage to others. They had been dominated, they had been subjugated, exploited, and harassed, and oppressed repeatedly by Egypt, by the Philistines, by the Midianites, by the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks. And at that very moment the Lord Jesus Christ talked with them, that nation was under the heels of the Roman Empire. And sometimes, you know, you can point out to people in love that there is a problem and something is wrong, and how often and how easy it is for them to deny it, to not accept it, to flatly refuse to see what's as plain as day. You know, they'll hurt and they'll say there is no pain. They'll wound others and plead innocence. They'll be thrown about in the jaws of jealousy, torn to pieces by lust and addiction, a foul temper, and they'll just go on saying everything is all right. It might be thunder and lightning over the heads of their lives. It might be a Category 5 hurricane, the roof being ripped off, the walls collapsing all around them, and there they are in t-shirt and shorts saying everything is okay. And I'm being generous, I know, when I say they, as if I'm talking about some people far away, because the same has been true of us at times, hasn't it? The same has been true for you and I. You've done it, and so have I. But Jesus, when they challenged him about being slaves, he wasn't even talking about outward oppression, but rather that inner imprisonment of sin. And he said, whoever sins is the slave of sin. Sin becomes their master. Sin has its way, and that person is powerless against it. People become slaves to sin, even as God told Cain in the book of Genesis, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. Sin is lying at the door, O Cain. It's hungry for you. It wants to devour you and have mastery over you. So do the right thing, Cain, God says. But Cain rose up and slew his brother. He murdered innocent Abel, and then he defiantly tried to hide the fact. And God, as it were, speaks to all of humanity, and he says, do the right thing. In his holy law, he says, do the right thing. Through the inward human conscience, he says, choose right and do good. Show kindness. Be selfless. Be merciful. Forgive. Walk in love. Honor one another. But just like Cain, sin waits at the door. And just like with that man It bursts in upon us and seizes control. Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, people fall short in many ways through pride, through selfishness and hate and jealousy, through fighting, physical or verbal, through greed, through lust, bitterness, and so many other ways. All have sinned and fall short. And if God were to judge us according to our deeds, none of us would be able to stand. But hear the glorious word of God in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, which says that God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus, the perfect man, freedom personified, the one who knew no sin, who was free from its influence, who was never broken under its heavy hand. Even though sin crouched at his door, it never once broke in upon the threshold and entered his life. No, that Jesus, that free Jesus on the cross, took upon himself the curse of sin. And Galatians 3 and verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Yes, what Jesus did on that cross, my friend, is the antidote to the sickness of the human soul. And his is the only key that can unlock the chains of sin that bind human hearts. The one who wrote the law on stone with a one finger has given grace with both nailed, scarred hands. Jesus has power to make people free. He came to release the captives and to free them from the power of sin, to break addiction, to break the bonds of torment and tormenting thoughts. He can transform us inwardly, give us a new nature that's remade in his image. Yes, he took our sin upon himself and he offers us in exchange his freedom, which is total freedom. And so in examining the glory of this total freedom, I want to break it into four very simple points for us to see. Number one, total freedom means freedom for anyone. Freedom for anyone. John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. And Romans 10, 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one is beyond his scope or beyond his reach. There is no one, no matter how your story began or where your journey has led you so far, that Jesus cannot save. Yes, Jesus has a good end for you too. All are welcome at his table. Others may have shunned you and thrown you out and cast you out, but Jesus never turns away the one who comes to him, no matter who they are. He will hear you if you call on his name. He will save you if you put your trust in him. Where have you been in your journey so far? Have you been a liar? Have you been a thief? Have you been an adulterer? Jesus will have mercy on you. If you come to him, he will set you up and make you a place at his table. Have you been violent, been scornful, been resentful, been envious, been malicious, been cruel? God has mercy for you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, freedom for anyone, but also freedom, number two, from anything. Freedom from anything. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Again, Philippians chapter 2, the well-known passage that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is no bondage that the Son of God cannot break. His is the highest power, the greatest authority, and the strongest name. And at his name, even the mightiest demons must loosen their grip. The serpents of addiction must uncoil and slither away. Sickness and disease has to pack its belongings and hit the door. The most powerful temptations must yield and give place to the one who sits on the throne of the universe. Oh yes, freedom from anything. But not just freedom from anything, but also freedom from everything. And I'm not repeating myself here. They are two different points. Freedom not just from anything, but freedom from everything, meaning no area left in bondage. Christ will finish the work that he begins in your life. Once he takes up your case, he will see it through to the very end. He doesn't just have power to break any chain, but he has the desire to break all chains. He won't break some while leaving others behind. His eyes are over every area of your life, and his interest is to make your whole life free, every single part of it. I know that some of you can testify how God changed your life seemingly overnight, and you used to be one way, and now you're another. You know, I used to be a swearer, a curser. I was foul-mouthed with every other word out of my mouth. But Jesus took care of that in an instant. You know, I didn't need therapy. I didn't need counseling or coaching. I didn't even need practice. The moment I met the Lord Jesus Christ, it just happened. Bam, the Lord cleaned me up. And some of you might have the same story. It might not be swearing. Perhaps it's something else. But God took care of the problem in an instant. He changed you so quickly you didn't even realize you were changed until you noticed that you weren't saying and doing those things that you used to say and do, and you had no desire to go back. But then again, there might be some other areas where you still struggle. There might be other battles that you're still going through in your life. It may have taken longer than you thought. But I want you to be encouraged today that Jesus wants you to have total victory. He wants you to have freedom right across the board. John 7 verse 23, Jesus said, "Are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath?" Note that word, completely. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, completely. God is in the business of completely, totally free, not partially, nothing hanging on, no hangovers. A woman plagued for 12 years with a sickness that left her bleeding and in agonizing pain once came to Jesus. He was her only hope. The doctors had failed her. None of their remedies had worked. And now she had spent all of her money. It was all gone. And she was worse than she had ever been. And by faith, the scripture says that she pressed through the crowd and she reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And power went out from him and did what? It healed her completely. It wasn't a slight improvement. She was fully restored. And Jesus told her, "Be of good comfort. Go in peace. Your faith has made you whole." I wonder, what will your faith do for you? If you will just exercise your faith and reach out to the Lord, what can your faith do for you? In Acts chapter 3, the apostles Peter and John met a man at the gate called Beautiful in the temple, a man who was lame from birth. And when Peter laid hands on him, that man was healed by the power of the Lord. And it says he immediately got up and walked. He followed Peter and John there into the temple, walking and leaping, it says. Walking and leaping, not limping and hobbling. It's not a case of, well, it was better than it was. No, God made the man whole. And he didn't even need to learn. Did you think about that? Children learn to walk. They stumble, they fall, they drop down onto their little backsides, and then they pick themselves up and they try again and they keep doing it until they get the hang of it and get it right. But here's a man who was lame from birth, a man who was lame from day one, crippled from day one, and we see him in the scripture leaping and jumping around and dancing. That's what God wants for you, my friend. He wants your whole entire life to be transformed so much that you are leaping and dancing too. It doesn't matter if your life, or a good portion of your life, your whole life, whatever it may have been lived in crippling pain. It doesn't matter if it's been mental pain, emotional pain, wounds and scars that you've had so long you can't remember a time without them. Jesus wants you to jump and dance and shout and sing the song of the free. Freedom for anyone. Freedom from anything. Freedom from everything. And lastly, freedom forever, praise God. Lastingly free. He doesn't just want us to be free for a moment. His desire isn't just that we enjoy freedom temporarily before sliding back into bondage. No, he wants us to be free everlastingly. Exodus 14 verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Yes, we are meant to be free forever. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Freedom forever. Freedom forever. And the experience of freedom is found in the experience of Him who makes us free. Our continued freedom lies in our continuing with Christ. In the scripture, you know, Jesus never says, well, meet me, visit me, think about me sometimes. He says, follow me. It's as if He says, your life must become intertwined with mine. Your heart must open to me. All of your days must be lived in my light. It's as if He says, take my hand and we'll go on this journey together. And where you are weak, I will be strong. I will be your joy. I will be your peace. I will be your hope. Yes, I will be your total freedom. This is Christianity. You know, there is no Christianity without Christ. Some people have the idea that we're just like all those other religions, that somebody a long, long time ago told people how to live their lives, how they should behave, what they should do. And then here we are, all these years later, trying to do our best to behave the way that that original person said. And I've just summarized every world religion there, but that's not what Christianity is. Christianity is Christ with us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Christ came to us, and He died on that cross. He took our brokenness upon Himself. He suffered for us so that we might walk free today. He conquered sin and the grave. He defeated the curse and broke its power so that we might go free today. So what will you do? John chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus speaks to the paralyzed man and He says to him, do you want to be made well? Will you be made whole? Jesus came to set the captives free. So if you are a captive to anything, why remain in that state any longer? Turn your heart over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and call on His holy name and say, Lord, I believe that You have the power to set me free. Commit yourself to Him and then just watch the wondrous work that He does in your life. Amen. Four Nights with the Devil, a true story of deliverance from evil, is my testimony of how back in 2002, as a young man on a spiritual journey, looking for answers and spiritual truth, I found myself involved heavily in the occult and engaging in occult practices, troubled and tormented by demons, until calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He rescued me and set me free. This book is available on Amazon or everywhere in the world as a paperback. It's also available as a Kindle download. I want to encourage you to get this book as an encouragement in your faith that Jesus is Lord over all devils and demons.
Thank you for watching. Join with us at Oxford Bible Church every Sunday at 11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time for our live stream service. Or join us at Cheney School, Headington, Oxford, 0X37QH. You can watch more of our teachings on our Roku channel and Derek Walker's YouTube channel. All Derek Walker's books are available in printed and Kindle versions in all Amazons worldwide or online with other great products, where you can also support our programs at www.oxfordbiblechurch.co.uk or by calling 01865 515 086.